Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is faster, smarter, and better email marketing automation. DotMailer is trusted by thousands of leading brands around the world. You can start your free trial today at dotmailer.com/futurecommerce and be sure to use the offer code futurecommerce for 20% off applicable DotMailer packages. Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
And we have 30 minutes on the clock because I've got to get to Olive Garden with my family. that's how we roll Friday nights in the Jackson house. It's a big party.
Breadsticks. Whoop, whoop. Salad.
Alexa, set an alarm for 30 minutes. Here we go. She's on it. She's there. We go. All right, Brian. This is going to be a lightning round episode. Holy cow. Biggest news of the whole week. And it's not HomePod.
No.
The HomePod is here and nobody cares. That's the first story.
Well, people care to talk about how irrelevant it is.
Article out on Business Insider says it's like something like, I don't know, like 7 reasons you shouldn't buy an Apple HomePod. And effectively, you know, it's a music first device. They're very hard. Like the number one bullet on Apple's website about the HomePod is all about music. They tout the features of the speaker, how it sounds really great. They're trying to position it against Sonos.
Wait. Yeah. It's just a giant iPod. Is that what I'm hearing?
Basically, and it only works with Apple Music. That's the, it is 20 bleeping 18. All right.
If you can't partner with people, then you're done.
Unbelievable.
Like
this is, you know, cue the Steve Jobs never would have let this happen, but I feel like Steve would have done exactly this actually. Probably. Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to harp on this anymore. Also, I heard on an NPR story a few days ago. I wish I had the reference, but it was a great story that basically talked about how the Siri experience as like a community experience, like a family home device, Siri just doesn't feel in the right context. She's very personal, you know, and Apple doesn't need a device to embody Siri. I mean, Siri is at everyone's fingertip, right? Siri is available at everyone. It's in everyone's ears already. It's on a lot of Macs as it exists today with, as of
Siri. Yeah.
You don't need a device for Siri, whereas, you know, Google and Amazon both did need a device to access their assistant. So I think it's a very different play for Apple. It is a win for voice first. It's a voice device, but
it is a voice to voice. And like you said, it is more of competition for Sonos. I totally agree with that. You know, and it's a market where Apple is entering. They know they can make money because they know there are people that are going to buy it. It's kind of a no-brainer for them, but it's not super relevant to the discussion of, like, you know, what's next in voice computing.
I want to rewind. If you go back to episode 1 of Future Commerce, okay, go back in the Wayback Machine.
That's way back, man.
Hit the Wayback Machine almost 2 years ago, and we basically, I think, kind of dig into the Apple. Sort of like all the announcements that came out of their WWDC, their developer conference, where they talked about opening up Siri to developers. And they also talked about iMessage having an open API, and they gave a bunch of commerce context examples of what they could do with conversational, both from...
that was super exciting.
It was.
And it was really exciting.
Nothing with it. So
it's just like Siri.
Yeah. Just like Siri, they've done nothing with it. So anyway, Apple, I guess is the phrase that Apple just gonna Apple.
Apple gonna money.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, besides repatriating, you know, billions of dollars back to the United States and, you know, building another headquarters, Apple doesn't really have anything going on. So, well, okay.
They had to copy another company that started with A. They're like, oh, that HQ2 thing. Very cool. We should do that too.
All right. So
I'm just going
to. Speaking of HQ2, Brian, you're at home in your HQ.
Yes.
You're in Seattle.
Seattle. That's true. I'm here.
And the company that starts with an A that you just referenced has a very exciting, their public beta is now over and it's in full on launch mode. What is your.
Amazon Go. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. No, we're not talking about that today, but since you're coming out here shortly,
yep.
We are going to both go to the store,
yep.
Have a little tour, a little review of it, and we'll get back to you with our thoughts.
2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. All right.
The best tweet I saw on this so far was, and people have been giving it favorable reviews all around, but my favorite tweet was, the store that promised you no lines has a line because there's a line to actually get into the store.
I don't know if that will die down anytime soon. A friend of ours,
I don't think so.
Friend of the show, Bob Schwartz. Thanks for listening, Bob, who's sort of in the angel investor world. He's a longtime listener of a bunch of podcasts that I produced. Bob looks like he stood in line. He was one of the first ones in on day two of the launch, I think. And he said it worked seamlessly. He tried to trick it a bunch of times, picked up a bunch of different things, carried them around, put them back, and it got the order perfect, right? He said,
yeah, that's amazing.
As a caveat, he didn't like the drink or the sandwich that he picked up. So, you know.
I mean, it is kind of close to convenience food, it is, right?
It's a convenience store.
It's a convenience store, exactly. So, you know, yeah. Temper your expectations about food. Food quality.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, it's really interesting. So we'll be giving you our full in-depth review. We'll talk all about what we experienced at the Amazon Go store, and we'll be there in just 2 weeks' time. So make sure you subscribe to FC Insiders. We'll be reminding you when that episode drops. We don't need to remind people when episodes come out anymore because we have such a massive audience. I don't know what's going on. When did all of you start listening to us?
I don't know, man.
I guess what we say actually, you know, is listened to by the real world now. We just want to thank all the new listeners. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I think we picked up a bunch at NRF. So, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our audience grew
by orders of magnitude. So, you know what I think it actually is? I think it's that Brandon Moskwa guy. He's been sending a bunch of listeners over our way. So I'm going to attribute all the growth, 100% of growth is due to Brandon. That means e-commerce all-stars. If you're not listening to e-commerce all-stars, get on it. But we like you a lot, Brandon. Thank you for being a fan of the show. Anyway, okay. So you've got a bunch of cool things.
So what's the actual big news? The actual big news is there's companies that are really starting to believe in retail. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of positive news about retail. At NRF, there was a lot of positivity. I felt like a lot of the discussions that I had were around retail. Retail is not dead. It's not even really an apocalypse. If it is, you know, it's more of just a transformation in retail. And you know, yeah, I had a great conversation with Robin Lewis from the Robin Report, and he said, you know, that. You know, it's there's not really a crisis. It's just retail is crowded. But there's a lot of positivity about what's happening next with retail. And one good sign of this is there's an article in the Wall Street Journal recently, just came out
a week ago. Yeah.
The 22nd. Right. Yeah. About how, there's a company called Allen GHC Development, Alan Fried is the leader of that company. He is planning to convert the former American Stock Exchange building in the financial district into a hotel with a large retail component, which is a
no tiny investment, $65 million investment to develop new retail space in Manhattan. You know what Manhattan needs, Brian? More retail space. We need more retail space and more hotels. Yeah, if there's one thing we're hurting for in Manhattan, it's those two things.
Right. Unbelievable. Yes. Right. No, it's so it's crazy because like you're making your point effectively with sarcasm here. There's so much retail space. In New York, and there's so many hotels. And so the fact that people are still making investments here in probably one of the most retailed places in the world, I mean, that's a big signal. Oh, that's a good signal.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I think is really interesting, it was an article, I think we referenced, 30 episodes ago. And it was sort of it was right after everybody kind of got over the honeymoon of the Amazon Whole Foods, you know, merger. There was a lot of the early stores in right after the actual go live date. There's a lot of the early stores or the Whole Foods stores that cannot carry any of the electronic goods that Amazon's been putting in some of their stores. And the reason being is due to lease agreements and competition that they have with neighboring stores and real estate. Okay.
Yes.
So I understand. I'm not a retail real estate expert, and I'd love to get one on the show. If you know a thing about this, come explain it to me. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I can see a future in which developing your own retail space that can't be entangled with these existing sort of lease agreements and kind of just kind of starting fresh and, you know, forging some of that forward yourself makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if it comes into play here, but yes, what you're saying is that there are a lot of people who are putting a lot of money into developing new real estate and rehabilitating some old, you know, some old, some storied architecture in New York.
Expensive architecture.
Right.
Yeah. It's, I think that's the part that got me excited. You know, we've had this talk about, you know, well, the, you know, Macy's flagship store in New York, is worth more than the entire value of Macy's. And, you know, maybe they're going to sell it off. But the fact is someone's taking expensive real estate and turning it into retail space, that's a very good sign. And for
that's a good sign.
For the record, I don't think Macy's is going to sell that building.
I mean, it does buck the trend of what I'm, you know, trying to predict for 2018, which is we see more stockless, you know, true flagship stores like Nordstrom's concept. And I, you know, seeing us continue to repeat some of these past sins.
Well, hold on. Not necessarily. I mean, the retail space that, you know, that he puts in, it could have things like that in it.
Oh, it could. But, you know, to have that large of a space dedicated to retail, I guess some of it's, you know, hotel. Oh, yeah. Let's see.
I'm excited. Yes.
Let's see.
Wait and see.
Oh, there's only so many headlines that, like, on the Wall Street Journal that says the Dow is at another record that I can take for a year before I start to feel like, you know what, maybe the economy is doing okay. Maybe this retail apocalypse thing is just, you know, fake news. And
I don't think it was fake news. It wasn't fake news. There were
It's fake news crazy. In aggregate. And like, yes. There are little pockets of those old, you know, sort of, you know, the old brands that are just dying their last gasps.
Yeah.
Their last breath. So in fact, three Toys R Us, Babies R Us locations in right near me, all of them that are accessible to me here in Palm Beach are all closing. So that, you know, there's, yeah, I'm seeing, I don't know what's going to go into it. It's probably like a VR arcade will go into those old spaces for the time being.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Everyone will be,
a lot of these places are getting replaced. Yeah. Like for instance, it was Office Max, I think, that went out of business in a town near me, and it was pretty much immediately taken over and replaced with a Lazy Boy. So, you know, things are happening. It's just because things are disappearing doesn't mean that things aren't going to take its place, because there are a lot of things to sell to people. And they, like you said, the economy is doing well.
Yeah, it's picking up. My wife and I have a bet every time that there's new development in some place, We were really super excited when we lived in a different area. They started building this new building on the corner and nobody knew what it was for the longest time. They didn't put up a sign. Nobody kind of knew what it was. It was a big secret. And we were all excited. We're like, maybe it's a Chick-fil-A, right? Like, maybe that's too big for a Chick-fil-A. Like, what could that possibly be?
I love that Chick-fil-A is like your number one. I'm totally with you.
That's the number one. That's the first thing, right? And then we're like, oh, wait, maybe that's we had all kinds of theories of like, you know, what it could probably like, well, Five Below. Wouldn't that be cool if we had a Five Below here? Oh, yeah. And we had all these theories like of the really neat things it could be. And, you know, lo and behold, it's another freaking Walgreens.
Son of it.
We need another one of those. You know, there's literally like six Walgreens within like 3 miles radius. Like, do we need another? So now whenever something's being built, you know, it's definitely going to be a bank or a Walgreens, because that's just disappoint me, you know, of some kind. So do we need more Lazy Boy stores? Do we need more Walgreens? I'd love to see some more. I want to see some people doing some really interesting concepts in retail.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be really difficult. I do think that, like you said, that there are pockets of excitement. Generally, we're all just kind of redoing the same things over and over.
I know. Yeah. No, I don't know if this is on the show, because I started to lose track of what we've talked about on here. I was talking with somebody, probably you, about whether or not Amazon Go stores will, whether or not they'll, you know, you're going to see them pop up all over the US. And the answer is probably no. You know, like,
no.
And that's disappointing. Like, everyone wants an Amazon Go in their neighborhood.
I don't know that Sam Walton would have wanted an Amazon Go in his neighborhood.
Fine. And, you know, Walmart employees aside, you know.
All right. Okay. We've probably given this too much time. We've got to wait.
Wait. I was going to plead to merchants with interesting things going on to expand into places.
Send us your stories. Like, I actually want to start hearing from our retailers. We have a lot of people that are listening to the show. I'm sure a lot of people are doing innovative things in retail. And, you know, I'd like to hear your take on it too. We should have some way to do a call-in where people can.
You know, that would be awesome. That would be an traditional radio call-in. Like,
yeah.
I like that.
Are we going to repeat the things in radio that haven't worked for two decades in the same way that retailers are going to repeat all the same thing? Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is used by thousands of marketers around the world. It has quick and easy campaign creation with a world-class intuitive interface. The DotMailer team is always on hand, from email creation, creative, and delivery to dedicated consultancy, helping you build your own success story. Play well with others. You can build your own marketing cloud by extending DotMailer or integrating it with your existing e-commerce and business platforms. Become a smarter, faster, better marketer and create sophisticated and measurable campaigns with DotMailer. Go to dotmailer.com/futurecommerce to start your free trial today, and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off DotMailer packages. Thanks again to DotMailer for supporting Future Commerce.
Hey, in-store is still relevant.
You know what is still relevant, apparently, is digital advertising. You like that segue? Goldman Sachs is predicting digital advertising. That means, you know, all the money you're spending with Google AdWords, probably on social too. It's going to account for over half of all advertising globally, all ad spend globally in all mediums by 2019. And Facebook and Google are probably going to gobble up 94% of the growth. And video is going to have a breakout year between 2018, 2019. And that's Goldman Sachs. We'll link it up in the show notes. But some really crazy stuff is this is coming from a Magna digital advertising a survey. And if effectively, what we're seeing is, you know, traditional advertising is on the decline still, down 3% year over year in 2017, and an additional 1% decline in traditional advertising in 2018. And most of that's probably coming out of print radio budget. And so what you're probably looking for is a lot of that to be displaced or put back into services like Facebook, Google, and YouTube. And now Amazon has a paid self-service platform for advertising, and so does Snapchat. Instagram is integrated into Facebook's digital advertising model. So everywhere where eyeballs are on the internet, you have self-service advertising. A lot of people are starting to test those out, seeing some returns on it, and likely to double down in the next year. So that's kind of interesting.
They also said that video could have a breakout year, which...
Yeah,
I think that's going to be interesting. Like, who plays into that space? When, you know, what was really interesting is that Meg Whitman, you know, former CEO of HP Enterprise, she went from doing that to becoming the CEO. From HP to being the CEO of like a startup, basically. For a Jeffrey Katzenberg backed venture, I think it's called New TV or something like that.
No, that sounds right. New TV. Yep, that's crazy. So, I mean, there must be something there.
The stated goal is to revolutionize entertainment with short form premium content customized for mobile consumption. And I think the idea is that it'd be scripted content that's under 10 minutes long.
Interesting. So basically, what a lot of, you know, content creators on YouTube are doing now. But they're going to Netflixize it. They're gonna put money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't. I wonder if like you take that combined with the video advertising having a breakout year, it's probably going to be, you know, you're going to see a lot more advertising around content like this. It's interesting.
Yeah. So
if Meg Whitman's going to it, I think there could be something there. For sure.
Yeah, potentially. I always look at this as people who have thought a lot harder about this and are a lot smarter than me.
Yes.
Are making really good. It's like, you know, let's all copy Warren Buffett. That's how I think about these sorts of things.
Well, then I guess no more Bitcoin for you.
You know, what's interesting is we were talking about Amazon Go. I know you and I had planned at one point a trip to the Amazon bookstore in New York. Which is in the old mall.
We should do the one here in Seattle.
Yeah, Columbus Circle. I'd like to. That'd be good. I want to see the idea of what it's like when like pure play e-commerce store decides to come down to brick and mortar. I want to see how they approach it and what they do differently. And Dollar Shave Club is doing just that. They just announced, it's an article over on Retail Focus, or UK version of Retail Focus, that Dollar Shave Club is opening up a concept store on Old Street's pop-up. I don't know how long it will be there for, but it looks like it's kind of more of a sort of retail experience with an old-timey sort of barber setup. But Dollar Shave Club, which is it is a Dollar Shave Club. Their name is actually, what they do is right there in the name. They're the subscription service online that has taken a lot of that have caused a lot of pressure and created a lot of other, you know, headaches for the Gillettes of the world, and caused a lot of interesting copycat sort of businesses to pop up, like Harry's and some others. But this it's really interesting to see these e-commerce, you know, first e-commerce focused centric companies that are starting to do larger retail experiences, and so I want to check out all of these. I want to try to learn as much as I can about them. I think the best way to learn this is to experience it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's go to London. Let's you and me.
All right,
let's go.
Let's go.
Old Street, here we come. It sounds really cool. If you've been there, I'd like to know what it's like. It basically looks like you pop in, you get a shave. They have three products. I don't know. Like, they have probably 10 products. You know, it's all shaving accoutrement, but it's an interesting.
It's interesting. You know,
it's an interesting thing.
A lot of this is, for Dollar Shave Club, like this is their way of sort of finding new ways of expanding beyond pure play, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's interesting, you know, to see how the traditional market is responding to this. Like Nordstrom's is like, oh, hey, genius. Like, we're going to take these experiences that these pure players are doing and kind of doing our own version of it. And then there are other brands who's, you know, sort of response to this kind of pressure. There was an article recently, Michael Kors, Gap, and Ralph Lauren are pretty much all going to no sales or no like discount approach to their business.
Right.
And you know, it's.
I love that you segued into that because that's exactly how I was going to do it too. you're right on the money.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, in short, like their strategy is to say we're done with catering to passive shoppers and bargain hunters. We're just going to sell our clothes for the price we sell them for, and that's their response to oh wow, like pure play. I mean, it's not their direct response necessarily, but like
no,
I think it kind of is a response to these pure play companies that are just eating their lunch. In many ways, when in Bonobos and Warby Parker and others that have kind of gone from pure play to building out stores.
Yeah, I mean the brands that you mentioned before are all luxury brands who have taken a beating since 2008. This 10 years that they've been sort of chugging along, just trying to stay afloat and actually remain relevant. And some of them, Coach in particular, I know like last year. Shut down, 250 some of its, wholesale type stores, like, outlet type experiences. Basically it's like, the product is way too ubiquitous. It's way too promotional and we need to preserve our brand status. And we'd rather do that with a smaller footprint going forward. What I find really interesting is that I don't think Harry's and Dollar Shave Club need to get customers in the door with 30 and 40% off sales. People understand the value of the everyday low price because their competitors kind of own the market with, they were sort of ingratiated as sort of unbeatable in the space.
Right.
You really only had one or two competitors that owned that entire space. And these guys were the disruptors. They don't need a discounting model. I think what's likely to happen is, we're probably going to have to see a big shift or more competitors come in to sort of fill in the gap because, a dollar razor and on a subscription, I don't know, the Gillettes and the Bix of the world have already adjusted to try to meet that demand. They're already going direct to consumer. They're routing around wholesalers, their wholesale, relationships. They're creating loyalty programs. They all have direct to consumer subscription. They're already, you can find it cheaper every day, at the wholesale stores like Costco and Sam's Club, rest in peace. There's a lot of those,
it's not dead yet.
Yeah.
Not dead yet.
But I do see that there's an option, like there's an opportunity here for, the market can withstand a bunch of competitors in a space if one of them is priced,
competitively.
So I can see where you would draw the line. I was going to try to draw the line between these two stories too.
It's good. I think
I don't know how we retrain the consumer though, right?
Well, no. So here's the deal, man. Let's talk about Gap in particular for a second. I have a real life anecdote I just heard yesterday. My friend was telling me a story about how she went into Old Navy recently and saw a pair of shorts that she liked on the clearance section, but they didn't have a price on them.
Right.
And so she took them up front and was like, hey, can you ring these up for me? And guess how much they rang up for?
How much?
47 cents. 47 cents. That's,
wow.
that's cheaper than Ross. You know, that's like the discount at the dollar store, man. Like, this is the problem that these retailers have right now. And I don't know if it's a lack of control or a lack of understanding of how their discounts, maybe they're like triple discounting on top of things, you know?
Yeah.
But when someone can walk out the door with a pair of shorts that, you know, they liked enough to actually get a price check on for 47 cents, you might as well be giving away clothes. You might as well be giving away your merchandise.
For sure.
And so I can see why Michael Kors, Gap, and Ralph Lauren are saying, we're done with this, because they're not doing it very well. They're not, I mean, that's just not being smart with your merchandise.
I mean, there's a whole thing about retail, like sort of category management and merchandising, that
yes.
Getting old product out of the store to make room for the new
product. Stuff, I get
that. You know, yeah. that you're going to make a lot more money on. Like it, in that case, it's probably a lot of, you know, product that's already sort of worn out its welcome. And yes, you could just give it away, but, you know, 47 cents is better than zero. So coming back to Dollar Shave Club, there's a really interesting comparison too there, because the sense is that the lifetime value on a customer who is in the dollar subscription price is negative. They're losing money on the dollar customer. They're making money on the customers that are at the much higher end of the tier, right? So so the idea that, like, they sort of have stabilized costs in just the blade, but they make a little more money on the handle, and they make a little more money on the higher end, like the four blades, the five blades type, you know, configurations, because they charge so much more. So there's an article on Quora that sort of estimates the LTV of a customer, but that, you know, basically, and also they were acquired by a much larger company recently. Unilever actually purchased them for about $1 billion. But the idea here is that it's not just what you sold one product at, right? It's not the price that you sold a single product at. It's the dollar cost average of how you've sold all the products at the various prices across the lifetime of the product and the brand. And it's not going to take a whole lot for Dollar Shave Club to come up with another offering that's at another price point that'll attract either new customers or get old customers to spend a little more. And you can see that too in your example, right? So anyway, that's, I have no idea where I'm going with all that. It's very interesting though.
It is interesting, no doubt.
I do want to hit one more before we run out of time, because we're right at time. Can we hit this?
Because this is like the most exciting story of the day, at least to me.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I'll just talk about it real quick. So Nike is actually doing some really innovative things. They're certainly not the first to incorporate this type of product, but Nike's released a new foam-based sole. Shut up, Alexa. Alexa, stop. Yes, we know we're over time.
do you see how it treats Alexa?
Yeah, exactly. This is when the robots take over. I'm going to be one of the first to go.
Yeah, definitely.
I need to start driving a Nissan Cube so that I'm safe. I'll be seeing them. They'll see me as one of them, and that's how I'll hide. I'll prolong myself a little bit longer in the robot apocalypse. Anyway, Nike, speaking of robots, they're using freaking robots to make their shoes. So they've actually created a new React Foam running shoe. And what's interesting about the React Foam is effectively, and what makes it different from every other foam soled shoe is that they basically aren't taking just a sample size of a shoe design. Most shoe companies take like a particular size and then scale it up or down. And there's diminishing amounts of performance based on the sample size and how far you scale it in each direction. For instance, if you take a size 10 shoe, it might be the optimal shoe, and it's designed optimally for that shoe in the way it's engineered. Once you scale it up to a 13 or down to a 7, it's lost a little bit of its performance because you can't really manufacture the shoe specifically for that size. Well, Nike says, hold my beer, we're going to do that. And they've decided that they are creating a perfectly designed shoe, an algorithmically designed shoe that is geometrically and algorithmically proportioned, scaled up or down in the way that the foam is constructed, so that it has the exact same performance at every size, and no two shoes have the exact same sole texture design. So every size of the shoe is engineered for optimal performance for that particular size of the shoe. And I think that that is amazing. That blows my mind. Yep. And I might just be drinking the marketing Kool-Aid here, but I feel like this is, Lynn, this is getting us much closer to what we were talking about, personalized products, which is the type of product that is perfectly suited just for you. It's your hammer, Brian.
It is my hammer, man. That's what I'm talking about.
you know, and this isn't even the first example of foam technology in a Nike shoe. This is their first running shoe of the kind.
Yeah, foam's been around for a while. I mean, Adidas had the Boost shoes.
I have the New Balance has a fresh foam, and I have the Cruise. I have a foam sole shoe.
But this is so cool. Like this is different than that. Like this is not just using foam. This is using foam in actually addressing specific sizes the way it should be addressed. And yeah, I totally think you're right. That's why I'm so excited about this story. This is the next move towards personal products. Yeah,
exactly. And it's what's really cool is that the so Nike has a professional running shoe for ultra. Or for the elite runners that they call the 4%. I don't know if you've seen that. I feel like Shalane Flanagan. It's the Vaporfly. This is Nike Zoom Vaporfly. Actually, anybody can buy this shoe. It's a marathon shoe. And Shalane Flanagan, who won the New York Marathon back in October, she was wearing the Vaporflies. And it's supposed to have like a 4%, energy like return or 4% improvement to some sort of energy expenditure. This is boasting the React foam supposedly is boasting a 13% greater energy return because of the bounce of the foam sole. So I don't know if those two technologies are closely aligned and that number is represents a 9% delta, like it's 9% more effective at energy return. But that's how I'm reading it. Anyway, this is really freaking
cool. That's like, yeah, 4 to 13 is huge.
We'll see.
That's hundreds of percent high.
Very, very cool. And I actually kind of want to try one of these. This show makes me want to spend way too much money. Dude, that's what happens.
I know, man. We see all the cool stuff. You're going to buy these, actually. I'm almost sure of it. because you've got some pretty amazing brands coming up. You've got some really
We should do some like meetups in the future commerce space where we do some fun stuff like that.
Don't give away our secrets yet.
We went out with future commerce sponsor Vertex. We went out with some of their folks. We took them hiking and we've done some really cool stuff one-on-one with some of the people that we're friendly with on the show, but we gotta do a broader community. Get together. So that's something we're going to have to do. Maybe we can do that around Shop Talk. That'd be kind of cool.
I think so. I think that's a great time to do that.
It sounds like we're teasing something.
All right, listeners, get ready. You better be at Shop Talk or you're going to miss the first one.
That'll be really, really cool. Anyway, I'm out of time. I got to get to Olive Garden.
You are.
I don't know about you.
Man, eat some salad for me.
Soup salad and breadsticks. They still do it. Can you believe that? All these years later. This is where the outro music should start rolling.
Like 5 minutes ago, actually. Sure.
Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. We want you to stay in touch with us and never miss an episode. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and on TuneIn Radio or anywhere you get podcasts. Make sure you hit futurecommerce.fm. Give us your feedback about today's show and subscribe to FC Insiders, where you're going to get a weekly dose of all things retail, technology, voice first, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, news, rumors, reviews, all that stuff.
Exclusive content.
Everything that you're never going to get from this show, you'll get over there, including life, love, and infinite amounts of happiness. Okay, that's it. Brian.
Retail tech moves fast.
And future commerce is moving faster. Take care.